I'm Steve Potter, and welcome to Cityscape. Later in the hour, composer Philip Lasser and soprano Elizabeth Futrell discuss working together on Lasser's CD, Colors of Feelings, which is narrated by actor Michael York, and will also run down the lineup of performers who are part of tomorrow's Old Webster Jazz and Blues Festival. One Man, Two Governors opened the Repertory Theater of St. Louis's 48th season last week and runs to October the 5th at the Loretto Hilton Center at Webster University. Written by Richard Bean and directed here by Edward Stern, One Man, Two Governors features Raymond McAnally as Francis Henschel, and he joins us today along with the Rep's artistic director, Stephen Wolf. Welcome to you both.
Hey, Steve.
Hello. It's good to be here.
Good to see you, Steve. Nice to meet you, Ray. Ray, Francis Henschel needs a job.
Francis needs a lot of things. He has to feed his number one habit, and that is food. So literally, he has to feed it. He's a classic Arlecchino character.
I don't know that term.
Yeah, for those of your audience who know their Commedia dell'arte, an Arlecchino is one of the main clowns from the Commedia dell'arte school of comedy, which is hundreds of years old, and we still use it today. From everything from The Simpsons to Family Guy to Abbott and Costello, The Honeymooners, they all drew from this old comedy art form that sets up different archetypes. And an Arlecchino is an archetype who's the type of guy who somehow, even though he's bumbling, he always lands on his feet. He causes all the chaos and havoc around him. So it's all his own design, and usually with an Arlecchino, in this case Francis, he's driven by his number one urge, and that is hunger. He wants to eat constantly.
Is it sort of a British farce type thing where you have misunderstandings, misidentities, door slamming, that sort of thing?
Well, you have it. I'll tell you, Steve, it's a little tricky. It's British music hall kind of form. So not only are we are slamming doors a couple times in farce mode, but this isn't quite farce since we're in the academics of commedia.
which we
really don't have to stay in. But farce is very organized and controlled.
This is chaos.
The difference is Ray's character injects chaos into everything he does. That's just a little different than how farce works. But in this case, we talk to the audience. We improvise with the audience. Mm-hmm. Ray comes off the stage to have conversations with the audience. We ask the audience questions. There's a fair amount of improvisatory work going on.
And it runs like a mix between, rock and roll show and a bit stand-up comedy and improv, because there's so much audience interaction and there's so many wild cards.
Well, Steve said something about your character interjecting, was it confusion? I'm not sure the word you used.
Chaos.
Chaos. Mm-hmm. So is that something you're injecting intentionally? Your character?
It's such a basic part of the character. I mean, he's one of those guys who cannot help but mix things up. It's not necessarily his intention, but every decision leads to absolute, flip-flop of what should happen. And the comedy comes from all that. The comedy comes from just this guy really messing up everybody's life around him.
We'll talk a little bit about the plot in a moment. But, Steve, this play is based on an old play. Tell me about that.
On Goldoni's Servant of Two Masters. For the academics out there listening, it actually is a rigorous translation of that piece. And you can go back to the source material of Servant and look at what Richard Hay did in adapting, Richard Bean did in adapting this piece. And Goldoni, it's set with the Harlequino characters, with the Lotzi, with there's a lawyer in this piece, and I forgot what the equivalent character is in Commedia, but the lawyer speaks in long phrases using a lot of Latin. That's a stock character in Commedia, as is Ray's character, is a stock character in Commedia. And this has just been updated and then formed into... I told people it's sort of like watching the Ed Sullivan Show or the Carol Burnett Show, because you're going along and you're having some pieces of the plot, and then you descend into this level of chaos, which is both improvisatory many times. Sometimes it is just flat out comedy shtick, and Commedia was comedic shtick. There were set pieces We use a slapstick at one point that was used in commedia. So it's very rich in literally in comedic form. But this is updated. It's set in Britain and Brighton in 1963.
Just Beatles jokes.
Just Beatles jokes.
Margaret Thatcher jokes.
Maggie Thatcher jokes. At one point, the three women come out looking like the Maguire sisters doing a song break. So it's a great pastiche of unexpected turns.
Well, without going into too much plot detail, your character, Ray, Francis, is like working for two different guys, only he's keeping that from both of them, and then it gets more confusing.
He does. He's very concerned that if one governor, boss finds out about the other one, that they'll both fire him.
And when we say governor, what does that mean in this context?
Well, you know, it probably what's most familiar to people's minds right now would be, like, compare it to Downton Abbey. We're talking about these guys basically hired a personal valet. So I'm playing valet to these two guys who are in Brighton. I'm not from there either. We all have kind of descended on this beach resort town.
And these aren't up and up guys either.
No. There's very few people who are on the up and up, and all the people who are on the up and up are dumb as bricks. So
they're low level criminals is maybe the easiest way to say it.
There's about a dozen characters, and I was just looking at character description. And I just want to throw out a few, not their names, but just what they are. So in this play, here are some of the character descriptions. There's a wannabe actor. There's a Jamaican ex-con who now runs a pub.
Yes. Who plays a steel drum.
There's an 87-year-old waiter.
Yes,
whose physical comedy.
Oh, my gosh, that stuff is worth coming to see the
show
just alone.
Evan Zess, who plays Alfie.
He's amazing.
The physical comedy.
Isn't there a woman that plays a man or something like that?
We don't want to give it away.
Okay. Yes, there is. No,
it looks a little like Ringo Starr. Yeah. He's trying to escape some other criminals.
Mm-hmm.
The criminal element is sort of there, but, you know, one shouldn't worry about how many laws they're breaking. It has nothing to do with that.
There's a love story intertwined there somewhere, too.
Yes. Yeah, quite a few, actually, about three total.
Really?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Well, let's talk about the whole improv element of it, because that's pretty interesting, because Steve made reference to it. You actually are maybe more than one point to the play or interacting with the audience?
Oh, yeah. Well, this is one of those plays that's chock full of asides to the audience. So luckily, my character almost gets to double as a narrator, kind of a host for the evening with everybody. And there are moments where I need the audience's help and participation. So I go out in the audience. I'm constantly referencing the audience when a character makes an idiotic statement. You know, I include the audience in my judgment of that statement. So it's, for me, one of the most fun things about live performance. This captures all the best elements about what makes theater different from movies and television shows. You cannot do a comedy this dense with material with this kind of live interaction any other way. I mean, you need that interaction between the audience, that energy between the audience and the performers.
What's your background in improv? I know you just came off a one-man show, didn't you, somewhere? And
yes.
I'm assuming improv was a big element of that.
Yes, yeah. I luckily, that was one that I wrote. It's got its world premiere at Ensemble Theater Cincinnati in Cincinnati. And Ed Stern, who directed this production of One Man, Two Governors, also directed the one-man show. And
which
yes,
is Size Matters.
Yes, Size Matters is the
name. Now, are you talking about your body weight?
Yes. But, you know, it is a Googleable term. So, you know, if it makes people come see the show thinking something else, then so be it.
Well, let's talk about the improv element. That's got to be fascinating. So it's a little bit different every night. But
yes.
I'm just wondering, does that ever backfire? How do you pick out the person in the audience that's going to be a good foil for you and not something that will do things backfire ever?
It's actually a balance, you know. I don't want to help audiences avoid being brought up on stage, but eye contact helps. If the person makes eye contact, that's great. But also, if they're a little on the shy side, that's kind of the person you want to grab.
Sort of wonderful.
Well, you've been open for a week or so now, Steve. So tell me what you've witnessed in the audience.
Well, I think they're surprised when we're asking questions. Because one time you just ask, you know, where should I take a woman on a date? Yeah. And we got, you know, Forest Park, church. There was some odd one the other day.
White Castle.
White Castle. So, you know, that gets factored into the play. I think people are sort of amazed at being asked, literally being asked questions. Of course, then when Ray comes off the stage to have chats with people in the audience, I don't quite expect that. I mean, it's just part of the unique nature of it. It's not dangerous. Nobody's being embarrassed or anything like that. Nobody's being made fun of most of the time. But, you know, Ray appears, as do lots of people, all over the theater.
Yeah.
That's Steve Wolf. We're also talking to Ray McAnally about One Man, Two Governors, which is now a playing at the Rep. Are you going to say something?
Yeah, I was just going to say, it's for me, it's the best interaction to have, because both audience and performers on stage are hyper-listening to one another. It becomes a giant ensemble at that moment.
How do you know? This is what I've – you know, they had that one show on cable. I can't think of the name of it. I've seen it a couple times where they improvise. There's a cable show.
Mm-hmm.
I always wonder how you know when you're improvising when the skit's over.
Oh, you feel it. I mean, it's part of comedy timing. You feel it in your bones that it's time to end it. We're going to go out on we call it a button. We're going to go out on this great button, this line. And, you know, it's all a part of the sharing nature of comedy. You know, when you have a bunch of people up there competing with each other, it's not as much fun as when everybody's in it for just the most fun show possible.
Well, what are the behind-the-scenes tricks to improvising, though? If you and I were on stage improvising, how do we feed one another and, you know, not sabotage one another?
The number one basic rule of improv is yes and. To whatever you suggest, I'm going to say yes to that, even if it's outrageous. You make a suggestion, oh, Ray, you know, I can see you're wearing a dress today, and I have to say yes and somehow do that and throw something back at you so you have something to play. And it just becomes that playful back and forth. Little kids do it naturally, you know, and we're just trying to get back to that.
I was reading some interesting things, I think it was on your website, Steve, on the Rep's website, about improv in general, and it was making the point how improv is not just for professionals, maybe like Ray here, but it might help someone like me, like in my personal life, with communication skills,
well,
something like that.
Of course it could.
Absolutely.
Yes, because what Ray said about the yes and is what you don't want is denial, which is, and not the river. You know, you want to be able to keep playing along. And so, yeah, sure, in your personal life, Steve, if you want to ask a question, you don't ask a question that has an absolute end. It keeps on going.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, and certainly within the structure of the play has enough structure that you have a place to go script-wise, that you don't quite fall off the rails totally.
Oh, yeah, yeah. The plot's solid.
This is not like going to see a Second City routine and that comedy company in Chicago.
That's pure improv
where they don't have text. Mm-hmm. We have actual play script. So in the middle of an improv, wherever we are, we can get back to the matter at hand, which is the play and the plot.
Mm-hmm. Well, there's a musical aspect to this I think we should mention briefly, and a particular kind of band that I'd never heard the term before.
Skiffle band. Yeah.
For
Webster music students, we formed this group with them, and they play songs. There's a pre-show. It goes on for about 10 minutes before the actual play starts, and then virtually every scene has a music break between it, and there's a pre-show at intermission, and then the band plays through the second act.
And even the actors get involved.
And the actors get involved. They play. He plays.
You've got everything from Beatles-sounding tunes to what might remind you of bluegrass with scratch boards and all. I mean, or washboards. I mean, it's to me the music also helps carry the musicality and the energy of the comedy along. It lets you know right off the bat this is going to be fun, this is going to move quick, and you're going to have a ball.
You're also partnering with the St. Louis Art Museum. What's that about?
Yes, the Rep and the Art Museum, the St. Louis Art Museum, a partnership that involves their docent program. And on every show, they have tied part of the artwork at the museum in the galleries, and they've linked it to main stage shows we are doing. And the three docent tours that they give for free on each show. So if you call the Art Museum, check their website, you will see them listed, and there will be something from One Man, Two Governors. I believe it's British art they're looking at. This started when we did Cabaret last year, and you know, the extensive German art collection at the Art Museum. And it was a big success, and they followed through with us to do the whole season, and they're doing the whole season again this year. And it's a really terrific partnership and a link up of these two important cultural institutions in the city.
One Man, Two Governors is up and running at the Rep. It runs through October the 5th. If you'd like more information, go to stlpublicradio.org to the Cityscape page, and we'll have a link to all the information that you need. We've been talking to Steve Wolf from the Rep and to Ray McAnally, who is starring in this program. And Ray, before we let you go, I understand that you first were introduced to acting when, I guess, you were in high school playing football and you had an injury. So what's the short story there?
The short story is I needed something to replace the football weightlifting time slot during the day, and I fell into the drama class. It was the only thing available, and luckily a very intelligent, intuitive teacher said, this kid is not afraid to get up in front of people and make a fool out of himself. And as a result, I've been able to make a living at it. So and I thank her very much.
And I guess you improvise on the football field too, right?
Yeah, so very much so.
There's a tie in there, I guess.
Yeah.
Ray McAnally, Steve Wolf, thank you so much. One Man, Two Governors at the Rep.
Thanks, Steve.
Coming up next on Cityscape, we're going to talk about this weekend's Old Webster Jazz and Blues Festival. But first, we have a special announcement. On Tuesday, October 14th at noon, St. Louis Public Radio will host a live debate between the candidates for St. Louis County Executive. This is the first confirmed debate between Democrat Steve Stenger and Republican Rick Stream ahead of the November 4th election. St. Louis On the Air host Don Marsh will serve as moderator, and political reporters Joe Manis and Jason Rosenbaum will be panelists. The event is produced in partnership with the University of Missouri St. Louis and will be held in the Two Hill Performing Arts Center's Lee Theater. You're invited, and seating will be first come, first served. No tickets needed. For more information, visit our website, stlpublicradio.org. This is St. Louis Public Radio, 90.7 KWMU.